Hey, St. John. Welcome to the Post-Sermon Podcast. I am Deaconess Dahlia, and with me today is Pastor Adam.
Hi, Deaconess.
Well, this is the third podcast that we are recording this Maundy Thursday.
Yeah.
And this is actually the Maundy Thursday sermon.
What happens between the 12 o'clock and 7 o'clock services, you might wonder? This.
Yes, this. Mainly because we didn't get to it earlier this week.
Right. But
that's how it goes. So tell me a little bit about the text that you preached on.
So we're focusing on the Gospel of Matthew, and I selected the first part of chapter 26. And while I'm focusing in on Jesus and the words of institution and the instituting the Lord's Supper, our gospel reading was Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through verse 29. And again, I just really like us to be grounded in the narrative of Matthew and all the beats of it as much as possible. But explicitly, I'm dealing with Jesus instituting his supper for us.
What was the central teaching of your sermon?
The central teaching is that Jesus does not play pretend, nor hand out placebos, nor just gives the Lord's Supper for the past.
So you're telling us a lot about what communion is not. I mean, that's the title of your sermon, is mm-hmm. The supper is not dot, dot, dot. And then you give us those three. So why did you decide to go in that direction?
I think Maundy Thursday can invite it's about when the Lord's Supper is instituted. And so I thought it'd be a nice way to sort of give some instruction and teaching about communion. And of all the different ways to go about it and all the different facets of the Lord's Supper to lean into, I thought it'd be kind of a fun way to, and hopefully memorable, is to say what communion is not. And so communion is not plain pretend. The Lord's Supper is not a placebo, and the Lord's Supper is not only pertaining to a past event, but rather it's for the present and also for the parousia, the future coming of Christ.
I guess to go to the placebo one that you used, I really liked when you were just talking about, like, if you had gotten a volunteer from the congregation and had them stand up there and ask them questions about their personal pain, sins they're struggling with, which, by the way, I'm glad you didn't actually do that.
Yeah, you kind of talked me out of that. I already knew it was a bad idea, but I just needed to like say it aloud and like, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. Yeah.
But no, it was good. Like imagining you had like two church members almost up there, right?
Right.
And just how, yeah, maybe there's some overlap of what they're going through, but they're also two individuals going through different things and how communion is for both of them, right?
Yes.
I don't know. And I remember talking to you after your sermon and mentioning how we do stress the communal aspect of communion a lot, which we should, right? It's something we do together. It's not just an individual act. But I think when you had talked about this placebo example, how communion is for you, like insert your name there for you, like that, I just thought was really special and a good reminder that sure, it's communal, but there's also this individual aspect.
Yeah. And this is something that's very true of the sacraments. You know, we can jump to baptism. I mean, the child is individually baptized, individually given faith, and yet it's a communal act in that this child,
they're joining the church.
This child is becoming our brother or sister.
That's true.
And it's easy with the sacraments to emphasize one aspect of individuality or just the community at the expense of the other. And so I just want to make sure to lean into this individualness. And I mean, Luther's discussion of the for you and write your name in the word you. That's the idea. And God's not talking to wood and stone. He's talking to you.
And that God is giving us exactly what we need.
Yes. And so no matter the individual situation, problems, sin, pain, any of it, the Lord's Supper's for you.
Something else I really liked in your sermon was you had this really amazing quote from, was it Herman Sasse?
Yeah, it was not short.
No, it wasn't short, but I think it really went with your point, just that the supper is not just for the past, but really the supper, I guess time is just, how would you say it? Like, it's not there. Like, it's when past, present, and future come together in that moment.
Right, and so even think about the words of institution, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ on the night when he was betrayed. I mean, every time we celebrate the supper, Deaconess, we are being taken back to the upper room. And the supper is now also being celebrated in our present gathering with the church. And as we often will say in our post-communion prayers, it's a foretaste of the feast to come. And as Jesus says here in Matthew, I won't drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom, in the reign of my Father, you know, the last day. And so one of the beautiful realities of this sacrament is time breaks down. Past, present, and future are all merged here. And so Sasse's, I love Hermann Sasse's writing, and he's probably one of my favorite theologians to read these days. And I love his whole discussion of how does the church endure disappointment? And the specific disappointment is Jesus hasn't come back yet. The first century Christians thought, well, he's going to come back this century.
They thought it'd be really, really soon.
And he didn't. And the next century and the next generation. And essentially every generation of Christians thinks this is the worst it can be. Clearly Jesus has to come back. And he hasn't yet. How does the church endure that disappointment? How is the church preserved? It's preserved through the Lord's Supper when past, present, and future are all brought together. And our celebration of the supper each time is bringing that reality about, but it's also testifying to the God who has promised what will come is going to come. And it breaks in a little glimpse, a foretaste in our present gathering as well.
It's like one of those mysteries. I mean, there's a lot of mysteries in the church that's hard to really grasp, but especially this one, like how, I mean, I guess knowing this, like what do you think that means for us? Like how does that benefit us knowing this and knowing that, and maybe not just that, but maybe all three, that this isn't just playing pretend, that this is his real body and blood, that this is for you. It's not a placebo, and this, you know, time and space are set aside for a little bit. Like, how does that benefit us?
I think, to use Sasse's language, it makes the journey and the travel worth it. It actually preserves us in the midst of our disappointment. And as you were talking, I mean, I can't help but think of All Saints Day. We remember the dead in the past year. We remember all of the saints. That day when we celebrate the supper is a little glimpse of all that past, present, and future coming together. The Lord's Supper as food, gives us sustenance to endure. And so we can endure the present because we know the future is set. I think of my high school principal used to say something like, I peeked at the end of the Bible and it ends well. The Lord's Supper makes the ending break into the present for a moment. And the Lord's Supper is grounded in the past institution of it. Some of our liturgies will say, as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Right? That's why it's always on the night he was betrayed. We are grounded in that past event and brought to it as well. The more you dwell on what's going on in the supper, it's incredible. And I appreciate that we get to think more fully about it each year at Maundy Thursday. And I love the Sasse stuff that he does. And his writing is really superb on the supper.
Well, no, I agree. I think that Sasse quote is amazing. And speaking of good quotes, you also had a quote from Luther. And I'll read it. It says here, "For here stand the kind and precious words, this is my body, which is given for you. This is my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words I have said are not preached to wood and stone, but to me and you. Otherwise, Christ might just as well be silent and not institute a sacrament. Therefore, consider and read yourself into this word, you, so that he may not speak to you in vain."
So this comes from Luther's Large Catechism. I think many of you have a copy of it. We did a Large Catechism study. It was actually during COVID, right? And then, well, right before, and then it started. If you have a Book of Concord, it's in there. But we have some copies in the office of the Large Catechism if you want. But his discussion on the sacrament is really, really nice. And I love that idea that, hey, Jesus is not speaking to blocks of wood and stone. He's speaking to people. And this is a nice reminder of the concreteness and the sensoriness of the sacraments. It's God joins himself to something that we can taste and eat and drink and touch and smell. Jesus is really here with us. And then, of course, Luther's great gospel move of the "for you" is singular. Write your name in there. When you hear "for you," write your name. it's just really nice. And his discussion on the in the Large Catechism is worth reading and commendable to all.
Yeah, I really like that. That it's a good reminder when we hear those words that you know, you're saying the words of institution in front of all of us, that this is for us, and just all that that means is more than we'll ever really, you know, comprehend. But it's our nourishment. It's a treasures of heaven, right? Well, this wraps up the episode for today. Thank you for listening to our discussion. In case you missed the sermon or you'd like to listen to it again, the link to the sermon's in the show notes. You can also find the sermon on our church website, stjohndublin.org. If you, the listener, would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
Thanks, Deaconess.
Great. Take care, you guys. Bye.
Bye.